Hello and welcome to Nutritious, your guide to a healthier lifestyle.
In today's episode, we'll be joined by Dr. Ashda, a family medicine doctor with 17 years of experience, to explain the role nutrition plays in obesity and preventative measures patients can take.
Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Ashda. Nice to have you here.
Thank you, Arnav. Thanks for having me again. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, according to the CDC, excessive weight gain affects nearly 1 in 3 adults in the United States, incurring a substantial annual cost of $173 billion. With nutrition and lifestyle changes playing a big role in preventing obesity and managing weight, it's important we listen to Dr. Ashda's valuable information she has for us today. So Dr. Ashda, what are the key factors contributing to the weight gain, and how can individuals proactively address these factors to prevent becoming overweight?
So that's a great question, Arnav, because for a number of years, the science of weight gain or the theory has been kind of oversimplified as calories in and calories out. I'm sure everybody's familiar with it. If anybody has trouble losing weight, they're told by their doctor, by people who mean well, by a lot of resources, you just have to eat less and move more. And, you know, when 70% of US population has trouble with controlling weight, there has to be something more complex that is behind the weight issue. It can't be as simplistic as, you know, just what we do with our food and exercise. So having said that, food and nutrition plays a big role for, in us if, to help us control our weight. But there are other factors. As I said, activity does play a big role as well. But there are other things as well. How you sleep, how long do you sleep, what is the quality of your sleep also affects the hormones that control the weight and hunger. Stress level in your life controls the weight directly and indirectly, directly by increasing your cortisol level, and indirectly, you know, when you're stressed out, you're not making the healthiest choices for your nutrition or activity. Genetics play a part as well. If most people in your family struggle with excess weight, you have, you know, your genetic card stacked against you. So it's more of a challenge to maintain a healthy weight. And then there are some medical issues, like if you suffer from thyroid conditions or Cushing disease, which is excess cortisol secretion that affects your weight. Certain medications that people take, like steroids or certain medications for mental health, can affect your weight. And lastly, you know, what we call is social determinants of health, your socioeconomic status. If you're not able to afford healthy food, it's going to be difficult to maintain a healthy weight. So there's a whole myriad of causes that can be responsible for a person's weight or extra weight. Also, there are some genetic diseases that cause a person to have obesity.
And now moving on to the more specific lifestyle changes. So, are there any specific lifestyle changes, such as dietary habits and physical activity, that you recommend for individuals looking to maintain a healthy weight do?
Absolutely. So there are some things that control our weight that are kind of out of our control, like genetics, can't do anything about that. But there are some things that we can change in a sustainable way that can help us achieve a healthy weight. So like, we, you know, the biggest of that is nutrition, and perhaps a little more nuanced than calories in and calories out. It depends on the quality of food that you eat. Eating whole, nutritious food is better than eating ultra-processed packaged food. Whether, you know, whatever your food choice is, whether you're a vegetarian or a carnivore or anything in between, there are plenty of natural whole foods to choose from. If you eat a food that is as close to its natural form, that is better for you. For example, eating a whole potato is better than, you know, eating French fries or the potato chips that come in a package. Same with the apple. Eating an apple is better than drinking apple juice or eating applesauce for that matter. So try to eat foods as they come in nature. That's number one. Number two is avoiding sugary drinks, which is a huge factor, I think, in weight gain, because we are drinking Gatorade or soda or juice instead of water. It doesn't satiate us, but it adds a lot of extra calories. And then, other factors like other things we can do are increasing our activity level. It doesn't have to be an all or none thing. That's another mindset aspect to that. So, people say, oh, I'm going to go on a diet next month. But what can you do today to make a change? When you eat your next meal, can you make a healthier choice? So if you're able to make healthy choices most of the time, nobody's going to eat perfect all of the time. So I think we have to get in that mindset. We don't have to run 5 miles on the day that we start exercising. You can go for a 10-minute walk and then build up slowly. That is going to be more sustainable.
So definitely having
And
the right mindset and basically like maybe scheduling yourself, just trying to stay consistent and meet your goals every week, every day.
that's correct. And there's a concept of setting SMART goals. Simple, achievable, measurable, time-based or time-bound goals, which are small things that we are more likely to accomplish than when we set these lofty goals and they just become wish.
And now transitioning on to portion control. So, how important do you think portion control is in preventing weight gain? And what are some practical tips or strategies you often recommend to patients in this regard?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of eating in a healthy way is to eat the right portions. To start off, I would say pay attention to your hunger level. So eat when you're hungry, first of all. And how do you tell when you're hungry? Your stomach is growling, you feel like you have to eat something, that's like the main thing on the forefront of your mind. Because a lot of times we eat when we are not hungry. We eat because we are bored or we're watching TV or, feeling sad. So eat when you're hungry and stop eating when you're no longer hungry versus feeling stuffed or feeling full. So that would be something to pay attention to be mindful of as to when you eat and when you stop. And then there are some practical tips that I tell my patients, that help everyone. So you can start with a glass of water. So your stomach has something that is filling it before you start eating. Take a smaller plate so you're not, putting a huge amount of food on your plate. A lot of, people, and it's good practice to not to waste food. So then if you have a lot of food on your plate, you're full, but you still feel compelled to eat it because you don't want to waste it. So start with a small plate. And then wait for a few minutes before you go back for seconds, because you may feel like you're not full, but if you wait for a few minutes, then your brain registers, oh, you've had enough food. You don't really, need more. And then you may not go back. And then you may not even want to go for a second serving. Other things that help us control our portion sizes are eat at the table and don't eat while you're distracted. So if you're eating while you're watching TV, is you're going to be eating more. People who drink alcohol while they're eating are going to be eating more than what they would have eaten if they were not drinking. And another important thing is to avoid eating foods that make you feel like you can't stop. Like if you open a bag of chips, you're kind of compelled to kind of reach back again and again to have more and more. You wouldn't do that with apple slices, I'm sure. You wouldn't do that with hard-boiled eggs. So try to pick foods that make you feel satiated, make you feel good, and don't make you feel like you're addicted to that food.
Just adding on to that, I feel like sugar is really something people are addicted to, and it's probably one of the most addictive things, kids are addicted to these days, and that's what's contributing to weight gain. So I also
Absolutely.
really
Absolutely.
recommend staying away from sugar.
Yeah, and the sugar, hidden sugar is in so many foods which don't really need to have sugar, like bread, like ketchup, and things like that.
And transitioning off of the nutrition aspect of portion control, so coming back to physical activity, as we mentioned in the second question. So in terms of physical activity, I know amounts may vary from person to person. Multiple studies have shown, those who burn 400 calories per cardio session 5 times per week lost 4.3% of their body weight, while people who didn't do any workout gained 0.5% of their body weight. So obviously, studies have consistently shown that physical activity helps manage weight gain and weight loss. And so in terms of physical activity, what types and amounts of exercise do you typically advise for weight management?
Yeah, so most medical societies recommend 30 minutes of cardio type exercise 5 times a week. So 150 minutes of cardio workout, like running or any other type of activity or exercise that increases your heart rate per week. And also to add to that, strength training 2 or 3 times a week, which could last 15 to 30 minutes. So that is the official goalpost recommendation, and you can go above that, you can go below that as the time or schedule allows. But I think the more important thing is to remember is to start from where you are. So when I counsel my patients, unless somebody's already spending hours in the gym or exercising, I would say start with a 10-minute walk. Slowly increase that to 15 minutes a day and then to 20. And then if you want to add running, you can, or exercise in a way that feels joyful to you, like if it is gardening or playing with your kids. So start from where you are. That's number one. Start with small duration of exercise that you can accomplish and feel good about, and build on that slowly. And there's a very interesting concept of exercise snacks that I came across recently, which I think is very doable, is that if you're working from home, sitting in a chair all day long, or if you're going to school, sitting in on the at you know at the desk all day long, and you have 5 minutes between classes that you have to spare, you can have a little exercise snack during that time. So you could do some squats or stretches, or go for a small short walk, and that builds up over the course of the day. That's something to think about.
And also just touching on the enjoyable ways to get some more and more exercise in. I think playing sports is a great way. You're already burning tons of calories while you're playing sports. And, it can be a fun way to, hang out with your friends and also get some good calories burned.
I agree with that, absolutely.
Well, with that, thank you for allowing me to interview again today. It's been a wonderful time.
Thank you, Arnav. Thanks for letting me speak about this very important topic.
Of course. And as a reminder, if you have any questions regarding this episode or any others, please feel free to fill out the Google form in the podcast bio. And if you want to stay updated on future episodes, please stay subscribed on Apple Podcasts or Spotify to get notified when the next episode gets released. With that, I'm your host, Arnav Jain, and thank you for tuning into Nutritious, your guide to a healthier lifestyle.